Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. There is a place for you to belong here. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord this morning as we move through the season of Pentecost and take a day to celebrate the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so throughout our worship service today, we will be exploring themes of Trinity and paying special attention to that gift of the Holy Spirit, which was given on Pentecost. Today, as we gather for worship here in this room, we're aware that several of us are not here in this room. Our students, along with our minister to students, Alan Smith, and several adult leaders are in the New Bern area worshiping with First Chin Baptist Church, which is a community of faith with whom they have been serving, building, doing some hurricane relief, and also some vacation Bible school activities throughout the week. So we've been holding them close in prayer, and we continue to do that as they return today. Moving through this season, I already mentioned that we're talking about the Trinity. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and so we read the traditional Pentecost text where the Spirit bursts open the doors and appears like flames of fire atop the disciples' heads and then calls them out into the world. And so we're going to explore that a little bit more today. Last week we focused on language, and this week we're going to be focusing on more about how does it feel when we are called forth to do new things as individuals and as a church community. So with that in mind, we ask that God open us heart, mind, body, and soul to the movement of the Spirit. And even though we are Spirit-led, I want to make sure that we can all follow along in our worship guides. So we've changed them a little bit. The 11 o'clock service worship order begins on page 5. And if you feel during the service that you need to draw or write, there is a space for you to do that on page 9. It's a blank page, so take a pen or a colored pencil. And if you need to doodle or take notes, feel free to do that. Let us worship God together.
Let me be the first to welcome you to Jericho. This is not something we do every single week if you're visiting with us for the first time, but this is the kickoff to a music camp week, a very special week near and dear to my heart, where we get kids. If you are sixth grade or younger, then you'll be here with us all week celebrating the great God that calls all people into relationship, and we're going to be celebrating that through the story of Zacchaeus. Who wanted to see God or wanted to see Jesus as he came into town, but was too short and maybe got pushed to the side as a tax collector. But Jesus came to people like that, and that's the story we're celebrating. So we want to also kick off this week, I think, in a very similar way, celebrating the goodness of our God, because that's what we're going to be talking about in music camp, and that's what we want to focus on this morning. And certainly our first song gives us language to do that together. But before we do that, can we speak these words from our opening sentences as we stand together and you respond with the bold print? From the very whisper of creation, God poured forth love.
Praise be to God for the blessings of God's love.
In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus as a revelation of God's own self. When we thought all hope was lost, God offered the Holy Spirit to heal and guide us.
Praise be to the Holy Spirit for guidance and inspiration.
And for the Trinity of understanding, we sing praise. Blessings, honor,
power, majesty to God
forevermore. Amen. Let's lift our voice together, sing this song. Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Age to age.
Age to age he stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. And Father, Spirit, Son. The Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb.
Sing it out.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Name above all names.
And name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God.
Sing it out, church.
And name above all names, and worthy. Is our God.
How great is our God.
How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
And God's people said, amen. Let's be seated.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're here, and I have someone to talk to this morning. Today is a special day. It's Trinity Sunday, but it's also special for another reason. What are we celebrating today? Somebody in your family that you're doing something special for today? Father's Day. That's right. Today is Father's Day. Are you going to be doing anything special with your dad today, William? No. Well, at least tell him happy Father's Day, okay? Dads are important to us, aren't they? Dads take care of us, and they love us, and they teach us lots of things. I can remember some things my dad would say when I was a little girl. One thing he used to say was, goes along like this for a little while, and a little while later it gets worse. We never were really sure why he said that, but my brother and my sisters and I thought it was funny. And then if you fell down, he would say, come here and I'll help you up. And we would usually laugh and forget about falling down, so we were, you know, we'd feel okay about it. But he also taught us lots of serious things. He taught us to respect other people. He taught us to work hard. He taught us that whatever job you do, do it the best you can. And our dad loved us. He loved us very much. And even though he's no longer living, I still remember things he taught me by his words and by his example. And I remember just how much he loved us. When Jesus was on earth, he taught his disciples by words and by the things he did, by his example. He showed them that he loved them, and he showed them that God loved them. And when Jesus went back to heaven, his disciples would remember the things that he taught them. But we don't always remember everything we've ever heard, do we? So God sent the Holy Spirit to help us to remember Jesus and the things that he taught us about God. And God's Spirit can help us when we're making decisions and help us to make good decisions. The Holy Spirit can be an encourager for us and help us to live the way God wants us to live. And it can help us feel better when we're having a sad day or a lonely day. The Holy Spirit is how God is always with us. Let's thank God for that. Thank you, God, for sending your Spirit to be with us always. Amen.
From the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrances of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made the earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea its limit so that all the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy and merciful God, we spend most of our time on this earth anchored by logic. We see it as our work to order and organize, tidy up your wild and relentless creation. We surround ourselves with knowledge and understanding. It's all simple math most days. 1 equals 1, 1 plus 1 equals 2, 1 plus 1 plus 1, it equals 3. But on this day, as we gather in a sanctuary and open our hearts, we realize that sometimes these calculations, well, they fall short of your glory and wonder, and most definitely, they fall short of your love. Today, as we celebrate the Trinity, we are confronted and comforted by a God who cannot be rationalized or contained by simple equations. You ask us to enter into mystery where 1 equals 3 and 3 actually equals 1. For some of this will be unsettling and perhaps painful. For it may be that our neat and tidy constructs will be blown away by the new. Your unfolding kingdom of grace may indeed call us from the status quo into uncharted territories. Even still, guide us into your mystery, God. For others, this is glad good news. It is a solace. For we know that there are those for whom the regular calculus of life leaves them in the dust, who live and toil in futility. And this new math, well, it's a ray of hope, a new beginning, a way when there was no way. And so we are bold to pray, guide us into your mystery, O God. On this day, receive us into your joyful yet disorienting mystery where you know and you are known in each beginning, in all sustenance, in every redemption. Truly, you are all mystery, the mystery beyond us, the mystery among us, and the mystery within us. Thanks be to God.
Let's stand. Speak, O Lord. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in your acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause the faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
Pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We are humbled to know you are mindful of each of us and care for us with a deep, abiding love. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear the many ways you speak to us and show your ever-present, everlasting love. On this Trinity Sunday, we are thankful for your Holy Spirit that guides us and for Jesus who reveals our Father to us. May we serve in love and wisdom as we strive to be your servants. May we also be a blessing to others in our community by giving back a portion of our gifts through our offering, our time, and our God-given talents. Bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's remain standing for the reading of the gospel lesson. In the crucial hours before Jesus was to be betrayed, arrested, and crucified, he spent this time with his disciples. And we listen in John chapter 16 to a little of their conversation about the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson. Amen.
I love what was said earlier to the children. Dads take care of us. They help us. This was one of those weeks where I learned that lesson a million times over. Dads take care of us. They help us. This was one of those weeks. My dad taught me a lot. He came into town this weekend to help Justin and I with a little DIY project. We're trying to install a tile backsplash in our kitchen. Of course, neither Justin nor I have any tiling experience at all. But we have watched YouTube videos, we have read articles, we've seen pictures, I've been on Pinterest, and most importantly, we knew that if we just asked, my dad would come to town and help us. He's the kind of guy that can do anything, including tile work, and he happens to own a wet saw, so that helps. I've spent the last several weeks anticipating this work. I've picked out tile. I selected grout, which is a fairly unpredictable color. You'll have to see it sometime after it goes in. Justin has spent his days measuring and remeasuring and remeasuring to make sure we have plenty of supplies. We were ready for my dad to come up and to spend a few days with us to see the project through start to finish, to teach us how to make all of the cuts, how to work the saw, how to mix the mud to just the right consistency, how to smear it on the wall, how to install the tile, and finally, how to put in the grout. We thought he would be here to see us through the project. Midweek came, however, and Dad sent me a text. "I'll be there sometime Friday morning, and I can stay most of the day. That should get you started." You know how I feel, right? Get us started, I wanted to yell back via text, but it was Father's Day weekend. You can imagine the panic that set in as I realized that he wasn't planning to stay through the project. He was planning to get us started and leave. So this is how I know that I understand how the disciples felt when Jesus was speaking to them in John chapter 16. Here we meet them in the middle of what scholars call the farewell discourse. Jesus is prepping them for his departure. He's getting them ready to carry on the mission without him. Up to this point in John's gospel, they've been traveling through Galilee together, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, raising the dead. Together, they traveled through Samaria. They met the woman at Jacob's well. Together, they went to Bethany, where Jesus called Lazarus up out of his grave. You remember the story. Together, they have sought out the broken, and they have called them beloved. Together, they have welcomed strangers and shared meals with outcasts. These are the cornerstones of Jesus' mission, and together, they have been doing the work. Jesus has been a teacher for the disciples, a living and breathing how-to guide for kingdom building. And the disciples have been following along, taking notes, studying up, supporting the work. And now, in this section of the gospel, Jesus basically looks at them and says, "There is so much more for you to learn, but you're not ready now. I have so much more to say to you, but you are not ready. So take what you've learned so far and go and live like you believe in me. Live like you believe in this mission and this work that we have been doing all along the way." "Wait a minute. What?" the disciples must have been thinking. "You were just here to get us started, and now you're going?" I can hear the words in their minds. And I imagine I'm not the only one who's ever felt that way before. I imagine all of us have had those thoughts at some point in another when we look around and we realize everything has changed. When we realize we have to figure out on our own what life might look like given what we've learned or given what we've lost. Sometimes for us that looks like moving away for the first time, trying a new city on our own. Sometimes it looks like starting a new job. Sometimes it looks like losing a loved one. And sometimes it looks like having to live with a chronic illness. No matter how much we try to plan our lives, we learn the rules, we apply them to every situation. Life has a way of throwing us a curveball. Learning to navigate that uncharted territory is not only an important life skill, but it is a critical spiritual tool as well. It helps us individually and as a community of faith as we seek to continue this work of God's mission on earth together. We can study the Bible, we can memorize commandments, we can try our best to live out every single verse to the letter. Rachel Held Evans did this in one of her books called A Year of Biblical Womanhood. You should read it. In the book,
She discovers, and we will too, at some point along the way, that we all have to step forward beyond the pages of history, and we have to begin to interpret and apply God's revelation in our own lives and for our own time. We have to make decisions that are not black and white. We have to discern how God is calling us to move forward when the signs are not 100% clear. Evans writes, "The Bible is not an answer book. It isn't a self-help manual. It isn't a flat list of rules and regulations that we can interpret objectively and apply unilaterally to our lives. The Bible is, however, a sacred collection of letters and laws and poetry and proverbs and philosophy and prophecies written and assembled over thousands of years in cultures and contexts very different from our own. And together they tell the complex, ever-unfolding story of God's interaction with humanity." Her words are so beautiful. For the disciples, those who knew Jesus personally and traveled with him throughout Galilee, Jesus was a living story of God's love for humanity poured out, ever-expanding in our world. Jesus was the Word of God, as John reminds us in the first chapter, a living and breathing interpretation of God's Word in Jesus' own context. Jesus knew the ancient scriptures forward and backward. He knew the rituals, and he interpreted them for his day. And Jesus also knew his world. He knew the rules and the customs. He understood what was happening socially and politically and economically, and he interpreted that world through the lens of the Spirit. Jesus taught his disciples how to be interpreters both of Scripture and of the world, and how to let the two work in conversation with one another for the building up of God's kingdom and for the continuation of God's mission. That is what it means to be a disciple. After Jesus was gone, the disciples experienced changes in leadership. Judas was gone, and Peter first led, and then James led the mission for a while, and then also Paul had his mission to the Gentiles emerging around the same time. Each mission, each leader had different understandings about what the early church should look like, what the movement would become. Each had to make decisions. Each had to make those decisions based on wisdom, the wisdom of the group, and the power of the Spirit which guided them. Just as the Spirit guided Jesus, so the Spirit guided the disciples as they led the church toward the wisdom of God unfolding in the world. "I still have many things to say to you," Jesus says, "but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, that Spirit will guide you in all truth." Future tense. Jesus' words promise the disciples that as they engage in this work of interpretation, this work of discernment, they will not be alone. And yet Jesus knows that he will not be with them forever. And so, like a good parent or a good teacher, he reassures them that God will be with them in the way of the Spirit. God will be with them in their grief. God will be with them in the midst of change. God will be with them in seasons of loss. And God will be with them as they face new and complex challenges that will inevitably come their way. The same Spirit that guided Jesus as he interpreted both Scripture and world will guide the disciples as they begin to do the same. Perhaps one of the most beautiful things about this reading from John's Gospel and these words to the disciples is the promise that that Holy Spirit will always be with them. The Spirit will always guide them towards God's unfolding truth. And that promise is not only true for the disciples, but it's true for us as well. It's true for us as individuals, and it's true for us as the whole church. It's true for all who believe in Jesus in the Johannine sense, all who live their faith and who seek to join in the mission that Jesus started himself, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, and yes, even raising the dead. If any of you happen to follow me on social media, you probably saw that Dad eventually made it to Raleigh. It was Friday afternoon before he pulled in the driveway. I'd been watching out the window all day. When he arrived, I bombarded him with questions. What do we need to do first? Can I go ahead and prep the walls while you change clothes and get ready? Do we have everything we need? He took his time, slowly and leisurely, walking around the kitchen, noticing every corner, noticing every outlet, making note of some drywall repair that also needed to be made before the tile could be installed. He took his time. He was steady, confident, non-anxious. After recognizing we were going to need a few more small tools that we didn't have, he suggested we go to the hardware store. So I got my shoes on and I was waiting outside before he even knew what happened. We got the tools, and then he wanted Starbucks. "There's no time for Starbucks, Dad," I wanted to yell. But it's Father's Day weekend, so I collected myself. Two Frappuccinos later, we were headed home with all that we needed. It was almost 5 o'clock in the evening. Alas, we began to cut the tile, we began to mix the mud, and Dad slowly and steadily walked us through the process of measuring and marking and remeasuring and checking and finally cutting and installing the tile on the wall. After we got a few sheets up, our confidence started to grow, and Justin and I felt like maybe we could do this thing after all. About that time, Dad looked at the clock and said, "Oh, I have to get going, or it's going to be midnight before I get home." Panic set in once again, and the confidence went away. It must have happened for Justin, too, because without missing a beat, he started talking about dinner. "Yeah, it's getting late. Maybe we should get some pizza before you hit the road." Dad stepped out into the garage, and Justin looked at me and said, "If we order pizza, he has to stay for 45 more minutes." Now you see why I married that man. The three of us worked together until almost 9 o'clock. We ate a quick bite of pizza, and Dad stuck around long enough to watch us put up one or two sheets by ourselves. We worked together. Justin and I probably never would have been ready for Dad to leave. Just having him in the room, watching over us, making sure we didn't make mistakes, even though he didn't interrupt, it inspired confidence and empowered us to do this hard thing that we wanted so desperately to do. But the time came. The time came for him to go home, and we had to continue the project ourselves. "You've got this," he said as he got in the car. "I've taught you everything I know. You've got all your tools. You're doing great. Send me some pictures of the work you do before you go to sleep. And don't forget, you can always call me if you get stuck." So we worked together for a few more hours and tried to use up all the thinset we'd mixed so we didn't have a bucket full of concrete the next morning. We worked our way down the wall and we came to our first obstacle. It's one of those light switch and outlet combinations. It was bigger than the ones that we had faced before, but it required the same skills that we'd been learning all along. So with new measurements and a few adjustments, we applied what Dad taught us and we successfully made our way around the challenge. In this season of Pentecost, in which the church celebrates the continued presence of God through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are reminded that even though we cannot see God, God is still with us. In the presence and with the power of the Spirit, we are given the gift of discernment, discernment to be interpreters of Scripture and faithful interpreters of our world. We need both. If the church is going to grow and continue to be relevant and thriving and speaking to our world. So much has changed since Jesus spoke these words and walked the earth with the disciples. And so much has changed since Greystone was just an idea, just a mission out in a new area of Raleigh. Our leaders, they have changed over time. Those who dreamt of this sanctuary and gave of themselves to build it, some of them are no longer with us. But the Spirit of God who called us here and gave us a unique mission also gave us all the tools required to carry on the work. The Spirit is still with us today and is still calling us forward. Throughout all of time, that Spirit has been working to create order from chaos, working to call forth life, working to make all things new. The Spirit came to life through Jesus of Nazareth, who lived and breathed and showed us how to do all the same things. The Spirit equipped Jesus with all that was required to interpret Scripture and interpret the world, which sometimes put him at odds with tradition and sometimes prompted him to do things that had never been done before. Dining with outcasts, communing with women, eating unclean food, healing on the Sabbath, touching lepers, and even raising the dead. That same Spirit is still speaking. That same Spirit is speaking and calling us forth, equipping us with all that we need to interpret the Bible and interpret the world today. It might serve us well to go ahead and expect that as we engage in that work, as we listen to how the Spirit is speaking, we might begin to hear the Spirit call us forward in a way that challenges everything we thought we knew. The Spirit might speak and call us to do something that has never been done, because that is how the Spirit works. The Spirit works, revealing God's self, expanding our imaginations, and opening us up to new possibilities. I still have many things to say to you, Jesus says. Maybe our prayer as modern-day disciples might be as simple as this: Spirit, speak. Your people are listening. Amen.
Spirit, speak. Your people are listening. Open our eyes, open our ears. Spirit divine. This is a fitting prayer for this time of commitment. Can we think about the ways that we need to commit ourselves moving forward? If there's something you'd like to bring to Pastor Chrissy, she'll be up front to receive you. But wherever you are in this room, may we commit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's stand as we sing.
Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest near. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God. My ears illumine me.
peace of Christ be with you.
Also with you.
Let us greet one another with God's peace. Sisters and brothers, this is an exciting season in the life of Greystone. There is much going on. Mike already drew your attention to the Jericho City that is behind us. So that's our visual cue that this week we're going to have a lot of children on our campus here exploring their gifts of music, art, and drama. If you know any children who are not already registered, there's still room, and so all you need to do, Mike says, is show up tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and I think it would be really funny if way more children than Mike has planned for show up tomorrow at 9 o'clock. So invite everyone you know. Also, to those of you who are no longer children, you are welcome to come and see the presentation on Friday night in this room at 5 o'clock. So I said 5. I'm sorry, 6 o'clock. If you come Friday, you might get to, if you come at 5, you might get to see the dress rehearsal. Anyway, your call, 5 or 6, come whenever. The kids will start at 6. Also wanted to celebrate Amanda's return from sabbatical. And Amanda, we pray that your time was filled with rest and rejuvenation. And we give God thanks that you are back with us, leading in worship and leading us as a minister. So I'm glad to have you back. Also want to remind everyone of a time of sermon talk back. That's the title, but we can talk about anything you want that happened in this last hour. So whether you brought your lunch or whether you're going to fast with me for the next hour and then eat when you get home, all are invited to join us in the fellowship hall for continued conversation. Let's continue with song. This sanctuary, this place of listening and learning and leaning in together, we give God thanks for the opportunity to gather together. And as we go, let us go with this blessing. May the Spirit of God enable your eyes to see, your ears to hear, and your minds to imagine possibilities that are endless. May the Spirit empower you to keep on moving forward. May the Spirit embolden you with courage to do that which has never been done before, all for the building up of God's own kingdom around us, among us, and yes, even within us. Go in peace. Amen.